Hello there, this is Ken Barron. We welcome you to the NAB WMT Media Committee, of which I'm one of the co-chairs. And I'm delighted to tell you once again, our other co-chair this. We have parity, we always have two co-chairs on these things. And of course, I'm from Long Beach. And here's our star for today, Demetrius. Check in.
Yes. This is Demetrius calling from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening to the feedback that we have for you all.
All right. Well, this is an update on an issue that's important to our group, the National Association of Black and White Men Together, and the like-minded folks that value civil rights. We are referring to the current nomination for SCOTUS. We'll use that to represent the Supreme Court of the United States. The Republican alliance with Donald Trump, as you know, was to establish control over the federal judiciary as a whole, and the Supreme Court in particular. Republicans would support him and his agenda, such as it was. He would nominate a cadre of reliably conservative judges handpicked by the Conservative Federalist Society to a lifetime position on the federal bench, where they would write conservative opinions against civil rights that conveniently and consistently aligns with the Republican Party political preferences.
And that's why they wish to elevate Amy Coney Barrett, whose confirmation would give the Republicans a 6-3 conservative majority on the Supreme Court. A clue to this is that last month, President Trump declared the nomination of a SCOTUS justice is the most important decision an American president can make, end of quote. Republicans want to replace Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, a lioness of civil rights. We would like to highlight the writings, judgments, and words of the nominee.
So our first issue is gun control. And last year, she dissented alone when a Seventh Circuit panel majority rejected a Second Amendment challenge from a man found guilty of felony mail fraud and prohibited from possessing a firearm under federal and Wisconsin law. Quote, history is consistent with common sense. It demonstrates that legislators have the power to prohibit dangerous people from possessing guns. End quote. She wrote in Cantor versus Barr, applying an originalist that's following exactly the words of the Constitution approach that looked into the 18th century, not the 20th century, the 18th century. She went on, but that power extends only to people who are dangerous. Founding legislators do not strip felons of the right to bear arms simply because of their status as felons. Barrett concluded that, quote, holding the ban is constitution does not put the government through its paces, but instead treats the Second Amendment as a second class right. Her opinion gives alarm to many people of color as they hear more gun violence in the hands of gun owners.
The second issue is immigration. More recently in June, she dissented as a Seventh Circuit panel left intact a U.S. District Court decision temporarily blocking a Trump policy that disadvantaged green card applicants who apply for public assistance. Federal immigration regulations regarding when an applicant would be deemed a public charge and ineligible for permanent status in the United States. In her dissent, Barrett wrote that the Trump administration's interpretation of the relevant public charge law was not unreasonable. The Seventh Circuit majority in Cook County versus Wolf countered that her construction failed to take account of the immigrants who would bear the brunt of the new rule. She has also repeatedly refused to review cases by immigrants applying for humanitarian protections and other immigrants' benefits who claim they had been wrongfully denied. Some of these decisions may have negative repercussions for future such applicants. Given that they set a precedent to be followed by judges in lower courts, these refusals could make it harder for immigrants to challenge an adverse decision from a consular officer on their visa application or obtain deportation relief from an immigration judge.
So our issue number three is women's right to choose. In 2018, when the full Seventh Circuit declined to reconsider a dispute over an Indiana abortion regulation requiring that the post-abortion fetal remains be cremated or buried, Barrett dissented with the fellow conservatives.
Issue number four, healthcare. In an early 2017 law review essay, reviewing a book related to the Supreme Court ruling on the Obamacare, Barrett criticized Chief Justice John Roberts' rationale that saved the law in 2012. Quote, Chief Justice Roberts pushed the Affordable Care Act beyond its plausible meaning to save the statute. He construed the penalty imposed on those without health insurance as a tax, which permitted him to sustain the statute as a valid exercise of the taxing power, end of quote. Should Barrett be confirmed before Election Day or shortly afterward? One of her earliest cases would be on the latest Obamacare challenge. The court is scheduled to hear that case on November the 10th. This could drastically affect your ability to get health care. And if you were unfortunate to get COVID-19, your pre-existing condition would be a problem.
That's true.
The White House agrees the entire Obamacare is invalid because Congress eliminated the tax penalty for failing to purchase health insurance. California Attorney General Xavier Becerra is leading 20 states and the District of Columbia in defense of the Obamacare before the Supreme Court.
And the last issue, and probably the most important for our community, is LGBT rights. And for the past 4 years, some of us concluded that the equality of our marriages and the everyday rights that we have fought so hard for were now precedents and that we'd be left alone. We also told ourselves that widespread support from our neighbors, colleagues, and families would deter attacks. None of us can feel that way anymore. We must vote as if our lives depended on it, particularly on this issue. Barrett has strongly suggested that laws on marriage equality should be left to the state legislators, not the federal courts. Quoting Roberts' dissent in a 2016 lecture, she said, quote, those who want to make same-sex marriage, you have every right to lobby in state legislators to make that happen. But the dissent's view was that it wasn't for the court to decide. So I think Obergefell, and what we're talking about for the future of a court, is really who decides that question. And in that same talk, she questioned whether federal anti-discrimination law includes protection for transgender Americans, as the court later decided in Bostock versus Clayton County, quote, maybe those arguing in favor of transgender bathroom access are right. That's a public policy debate to have, she said. But it does seem to strain the text of the statute to say that's Title IX demands it.
Yes, and in conclusion, for all these reasons and more, the nomination of Amy Coney Barrett is counter to the direction of civil rights and is a challenge to what we stand for, a just and democratic society for all. We thank you for this time. We thank you for the opportunity to kind of go over some of these concerns that we have had. And hopefully you can do your research as well and make a conscious decision. And the most important part of everything is to vote.
And as I sign off from Long Beach, I wish you all the best. And once again, ask you to vote. Your life depends. Thank you for listening.